Hey everyone, welcome to the Ohio Family on the Run podcast. A podcast about family, travel, running,
and the paranormal.
Join us each week as we discuss our family adventures, races, running,
and ghost hunting.
We're your hosts, Scott
and Christina.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Ohio Family on the Run podcast. This week we're going to be talking about our trip to Flagstaff, which happened last year in July. But before we get started on that, what are we drinking tonight?
I got a frozen mocha.
Yeah, we are doing frozen drinks. I have a frozen latte and she got a frozen mocha, basically because, well, it's almost 100 degrees here in our fair city today and we are just boiling hot. So we're just trying to stay cool. Anyway, so for this week, like I said, we're doing Flagstaff. We chose Flagstaff last year as our family vacation, basically for two reasons. One, we were celebrating our five-year wedding anniversary, which we ended up doing a five-year vow renewal. Yeah, we wanted to do something. We didn't really get to have the wedding that I wanted to be able to give my wife the first go-round, so I wanted to be able to do something nicer for this time and give her more of the wedding that she deserves. And after that, well, previous to that, our honeymoon, although we had fun on our original honeymoon, you know, we went to Cedar Point, like we said, and we were up in Quinton Bay, and we had fun with that. But I wanted us to actually have a real, actual traveling honeymoon. And so we chose Flagstaff. And the reason why we chose Flagstaff just happened to coincide with something else that I'm a part of, and that is the Run Free training program. And they were having their first ever athlete camp. And it was being held in Flagstaff, Arizona. So we kind of chose that. Go figure that everything, like normal, everything revolves around running and things like that. But you liked the idea of going to Flagstaff last year.
Oh, yeah.
We had fun. It was a great time. Let's start this off with, it was July when we went. It was July. And it was mid to late July, if I remember correctly. The 19th through like the 25th or 26th, I think.
Yeah.
Because we were there for a week. We went down on we did our vow renewal on Saturday. Left. We stayed up in Cleveland overnight. Left out early Sunday morning.
Came back Saturday night.
Then came back Saturday. We got back Saturday night the following week. Camp didn't actually start until Tuesday. We flew. We didn't fly to, actually, Flagstaff. We flew to Phoenix, Arizona, and had a rental car waiting for us, which, as a little simple extra honeymoon, since this was our second honeymoon, we did splurged a little bit on the rental car, and we got a, what was it? Was it an Escalade?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was a Cadillac Escalade SUV. That thing was nice.
But I think it was like extra limited edition.
Yeah, it was like a limited edition. And it was almost brand new. The one they gave us was almost brand new. It had a sun and moon roof, everything. It was fancy. Oh, yeah, because remember when I was driving, I had to turn off the lane assist.
Oh, yeah.
Because that threw me off because I'd never had that. And then it, like, every time a car would get close, it would, like, vibrate my seat. And it was freaking me out. I do remember that. Until we don't drive the fancier.
No, and it had double windows up top of the moonroof.
Yeah, it had two.
The only bad thing, we couldn't use them.
That is very true. We couldn't use the windows because, one, it was so hot when we were in Phoenix that you couldn't have the window down. You had to have the air conditioning going because it was over, what was it, 110?
Yeah.
When we were in Phoenix. And then
Flagstaff was cold and rainy.
Flagstaff at points, yeah, it was in the 70s, which was nice. But in the evening, and the nice thing is at least it was always overnight. It rained when we were there, but it only rained overnight. It actually never rained during the day, which was really kind of nice. We rented a, kind of like an Airbnb is what we did.
It was like a condo townhouse.
Yeah, condo townhouse. We did have a roommate with us, somebody to help share. Is a lot of athletes were coming from, I mean, obviously, coaches and athletes were coming from all over the United States. And so there was a get-together of athletes that were looking for a place to stay, you know, just a room or, you know, ride. And, you know, we had room in the place that we had that we were renting. And we had room in our vehicle. So we basically got to Phoenix, went out and had lunch, went back, picked our roommate up. And she was coming in from Florida. It was really nice. We had a fun time.
It was fun.
She was a hoot. We have more stories about her adventures a little bit later. And just to keep anonymity, we're not going to say, you know, we're not going to put her name out there because that's not right. But she was awesome. It was really sad when we all had to go our separate ways at the end of the trip. We went down to Phoenix, 110 degrees. And it was hot. Man. It was so,
especially when you get off that plane.
Oh, man. You feel it. Yeah, you can get off that plane and you can feel it.
But it was dry heat.
And it was a dry heat. And so we drove to Flagstaff, which is a two-hour drive from Phoenix, and you're going up into the mountains. If you don't know, when you're going up into those mountains, it's a lot. It's a big climb. And they will tell you, you know, they tell you, don't keep your air conditioning on full blast, because you'll burn up your engine, especially during the summer. And it's a big, steep climb. Flagstaff is 7,000 feet of elevation. Mm-hmm. And it's a big difference. So we drove to Flagstaff Sunday after we got our roommate. But then we actually went back down to Phoenix on Monday because we actually went to a Arizona Diamondbacks game at Chase Field, which was pretty cool. One of the things I know for you is you want to visit every Major League Baseball and every NFL stadium and go to a game there in the country, which is just bonus for me. You know, kind of a little bonus I did for you was, you know, for our honeymoon, I just didn't tell you. I mean, I kind of told you that we were doing it, mm-hmm. but I didn't tell you where.
Right.
And it just so happened to be, weirdly enough, that the game, they were playing against who?
Pittsburgh Pirates, I think?
Yeah, they were playing against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Unfortunately, the game itself was, you know, two teams that at the time were the two worst the two worst Major League Baseball teams in the season. But it was still a fun game.
It was fun.
The stadium itself is really nice.
It was really nice. Air conditioned.
And it was air conditioned. And it was partly open. It was an open air stadium that has air conditioning. I think they said it's the only Major League Baseball stadium that's open air that has air conditioning. But we had fun. We had a good time there. And where were our seats?
5 rows back?
Yep. You knew we were going to the game. You just didn't know where I had bought the tickets and where they were located. So I figured, you know, we got five rows back. It was fun. We would definitely recommend it. You got your souvenir Arizona Diamondbacks baseball hat that you wanted to get. We were trying to check other places out in Phoenix when we were there, but a lot of the stuff was closed. Some of the parks, of the really nice parks, were actually closed because of what I can't remember. What
could reason. Be extreme heat.
That's right. It was. That's right. You're right.
Extreme heat. A lot of places closed.
Yeah, a lot of the places were closing because of it was way too hot out. That is correct. I forgot that was the reason why. So basically, the trip was a second honeymoon, but one of the biggest things about it was the Run Free Camp. That was why we chose Flagstaff. That was why we chose the timing that we were going to do everything. I had been part of Run Free for what?
Since November?
November the previous year. Run Free has helped me. First of all, it's helped me tremendously. They really get to know you before they give you a coach. Run Free is co-founded by Ryan Hall and Jay Stevenson. They do such a tremendous job. Like, the intro packet that you fill out, the questionnaire is long. It's long. It is absolutely long, but there's a reason for it. It's not just that they're trying to do it to be annoying or trying to do it just to be nosy. They want to know everything that they can and about their potential athletes.
They go in really depth.
They go into very good detail. And they even want, you know, they go down on your sleep patterns. They want your eating habits. They wanted video of you running because they want to know that they can and see what they need to be able to help, to see what they can do to help you achieve your goals. And absolutely, I was nervous going into it. You know, we've talked about and said before, I'm not the elite. I'm not the front of the pack. I'm not like, you know, 95% of the other runners and athletes that are part of Run Free. I was a little nervous joining. I wasn't sure if I would fit in. But let me just say, I really felt welcome during the whole process. If you have ever any questions or anything like that, you can reach out, send an email, send a message to Jay. And I actually had a conversation with him. Remember, he called me and I talked to him on the phone, which was a little intimidating. I'm not going to lie, you know, because of who he is and who, you know, I look at him as who he is in the running community for me personally. So it was a big deal. And I was a little awestruck when I talked to him on the phone, but very nice, very friendly guy. Very, very welcoming, and he puts you really at ease, and he's very comforting and very easy to talk to, you know, and he answered a lot of my questions and everything like that, even though I don't think that I asked a whole lot, because I just, like I said, was more of awestruck of being like, here, this is Jay, and he's talking to me on my phone. This is crazy. But anyways, Run Free, they decided that they were going to do the camp, finally, and have one. And it was in Flagstaff, and they chose Flagstaff because that's where Ryan Hall lives. And so I felt that was a little bit of cheating, a little bit where he's in his hometown. But no, it was awesome. The camp didn't start until Tuesday. When we did get to Flagstaff, you know, I sent a message to my coach and told him, I was like, you know, hey, we're here in Flagstaff, just to let you know. He responded back not long after that and was like, you know, hey, just got in, getting settled. Because like a lot of the coaches stayed at what is in that area is called Camp Colton. And so they stayed at a whole area, and that's where actually the camp was being held at, was mostly at Camp Colton with some stops in different places along the way. But he said that they were having a kind of an impromptu meetup on Monday for people to go running if they wanted to. Didn't have to, wasn't part of the camp. It was just other athletes that were coming in, wanted to get a little bit, a couple miles in. You know, I told our roommate, she was down with it. We were down with it. It would be the first time one meeting basically everybody, you know. So, you know, I've talked to my coach before on the phone. We've done Zoom, but never actually got to meet my coach in person. Never got to meet anybody up until that point in person. So we went out there to Lake Mary Road, which is famous, and we'll get into why it's famous later. But we ran a couple miles on the side roads. There's a side road, and it's dirt. Well, it starts out, it's about maybe a quarter of a mile asphalt, and then it turns into dirt, and then dirt mixed with rocks. So one thing my coach definitely, definitely told me was like, you know, hey, don't go out and push yourself. I want you to go light. I want you to go easy. Just feel it. Because remember, the main point of this whole camp also is for training in altitude, you know. It's not every day that most of us get to run at altitude. I realized real fast that I have not ran at altitude.
whole different setup.
It killed me. My whole body was done within a mile. I got to my turnaround because, you know, he wanted me to do 20 minutes total, 10 minutes out, 10 minutes back. So I got to my turnaround and I was exhausted. Like, I was exhausted.
You looked it when you got back.
What?
I said you looked it when you got back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did strides when I got back. But it was really cool because the nice thing, the best part about it was, yeah, the light run and getting to know what that week is going to feel like. Because it ended up being, I ran 5 days in a row. The really cool part about it was getting to meet everybody before camp actually officially started. You know, so my coach Jared was there. And Jared is who we'll be interviewing next week. He'll be our guest next week as my coach. Jay was there, got to meet him, got to meet a lot of other, you know, we had Natalie and Gerald Mitchell was on our show, and that's when we got to meet them. That was when I actually showed to you, like, I knew who she was, you know, and I was just like, oh, that's Natalie Mitchell, you know. But it was a really good group, and you could already see from just that small gathering of people that the camp was going to be amazing. You know, really put into mind, and it really calmed the nerves, for me especially. And it really put aside any questions. Because even though, you know, I'm not on their, like, almost every single one of them's level, nobody looked down upon anybody. Nobody talked down at anybody. It was instant, almost family. Like, everybody knew why were they over there. Everybody knew that, you know, everybody's like, hey, we're here, we're all doing this, and everybody was just excited.
They all cheered you on.
Everybody cheered everybody on. They even were cheering you on. You know, you're not a big runner.
No.
You were going there, and I know you were really nervous about going.
I was very nervous before.
Right, because, you know, the thought is, you're, you know, this was more the camp you were figuring is more suited and more aimed at me, but they... Man, they embraced you, like, amazing. I mean, even after that run where I was sitting there relaxing and recovering on Monday, you know, other people, they were running with you.
Yeah, our roommate ran with me.
Yep, our roommate, she was running with you and encouraging you and giving you positivity. One of the Coach Rachel, she was, you know, I know throughout the camp, you had several conversations with her. Where she was sitting there talking to you and giving you some advice on different things. You know, the nice thing is you weren't the only spouse or family that was there.
Yeah, which was nice. Made me feel more comfortable.
Right. And, I mean, you knew that ahead of time because, you know, even though this was the camp that Jay, you had been in contact with Jay's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Carmen.
Yeah. And she told you, you know, you have nothing to worry about.
She's amazing.
Yeah, you seemed to really get along really well, and you liked your conversations that you were having with her. Like, you guys were emailing back and forth, which was nice, you know, and that just makes it even better, because it wasn't just like, oh, hey, you're going out to this camp, and this camp is for runners, and then they're only talking, and they're only, you know, interacting with the runners. They interacted with everybody. Like, you didn't even feel like it was like an elite camp, and that's what it was. In all honesty, that's what the camp was. It was for people, you know, it was to help people see where you're at, and it was to help people in a group push themselves or how you can elevate yourself to the next level. But the way that it was done was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't feel like this was a workout. You don't get me wrong, you felt the workouts. When you did certain workouts as a runner, you felt them. I mean, I did. You know, Ryan and Jay, Jared, all the coaches, every single coach was amazing. Every single one of them was nice, friendly. You know, I mean, you can see why they're part of the Run Free program.
Right.
You can see why Ryan and Jay really scrutinize anybody that they're going to bring on board as a coach. It was so fun that I'm in pain, but I'm not even really thinking about the pain. And I'm not talking about like I'm injured. I'm talking about like my legs are sore, you know, my arms, my muscles, my body's sore from doing all this running or these harder workouts on some days. But you're actually really more enjoying it.
Right?
Because
you don't even think about it.
You're right. You're not really even fully, you know, concentrated or stressing over it because everybody's there. And it's just like, hey, we're all experiencing this together, but hey, you got some advice on something. Somebody's got this advice. And that was what something else that the camp did as well is, you know, when we got together on Tuesday was the first actual get together. They had different sessions and they had like a yoga session for stretching and stuff like that. And I went in and did with the strength training. You know, they also had a strength training exercise session going on, and that was being done by Ryan and Jay, and doing a lot of the different work, because I need a lot of that, you know, to help get rid of some of this belly fat and other things that I got. But anyways, it was really cool that they didn't, it wasn't just like, oh, hey, today we're going to go out and run these miles. No, they're telling you, this is some exercises that you can do. Oh, you don't have this equipment? All right, well, here's some things that you can use that you should have around your house that you can use instead. To go to Ryan Hall for a second about this, because for me, one of my biggest idols and heroes for men's running is Meb and Ryan Hall. They are like the top two. And I was so bummed the 1 year that I didn't get to run Akron, and Meb
was right there at the finish line.
Was the ambassador and was there at the finish line. That really was depressing to me. But the other one being Ryan Hall and going to this camp and knowing, yeah, you're going to meet him, you know. but seeing somebody that you've basically kind of idolized, and he was just so down to earth and so friendly. Man, I'm telling you what, you know, you see all the records that he's done and some of the most amazing and wonderful stuff he's done throughout his whole career in running. And even after, with now him working out and his weightlifting and doing all that, and he's just even more of a beast. To meet him in person is overwhelming. I mean, it was for me. Like, I'm in awe. As his man standing there talking, you know, I'm just standing there, like, almost have to pick my jaw off the ground because I'm just sitting there like, that's Ryan Hall. That's Ryan Hall. But then when you get to meet him, man, after the first day of meeting him, he knew every single person's name. He knew everybody. It wasn't like, you know, and it's not like we didn't have name tags or anything.
No.
It was a camp. It was a camp out in the woods. When I mean camp, it was a camp. Like, they were sleeping in tents, like big tents, and think of like a Boy Scout or Girl Scout camp is kind of what I think of it as.
Yeah.
No, he's like, you know, hey, Scott, how you doing today? How's it going? How you feel? And he would have a genuine conversation with you. The man wanted to really know. He co-founded the running with Jay because they wanted to be able to help athletes get to the next level with a different style of coaching and a different style. You know, not just, they don't focus just, Run Free doesn't focus just on the running. Yes, running is a good, big aspect of it. But the thing with Run Free is, you know, it has to deal with, you know, they're wanting to work on your eating habit, your sleep, your, you know, their 1%, a lot of the different stuff that you do and making sure your mental health, your physical, not just with the running, but like with the sleep, that you're getting the right amount of sleep. Are you eating the right stuff that's going to help you, you know, that's going to give you the energy and stuff that you need? Are you getting, is your mind? Those all things affect in a race. And I know the biggest thing for me, you know, yeah, my eating is horrible. And it's still something that my coach and I are working on. But one of the biggest things for me has always been my mental fatigue when I'm running. I start doubting myself. I start getting frustrated. And I get in my head.
You get depressed.
I'll get depressed. You're absolutely right. And I will get, if I had a bad workout, I would get depressed. And I would almost be on the verge of quitting. And one thing is like I said, when they go through all these questionnaires, they go through all your answers, they go through everything, they analyze, and then they find out and they look at what coach would fit you, your personality, and your training, your goals. They do all of that to find the right person for you. And I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll keep saying it. It works. Because my coach, Jared, has been one of the best people to help me, not just in the running, but with the mental part of it. You know, he is, I still have days where the mental fatigue or the, you know, as things get in my head, but I don't think it's been nearly as bad.
It's not as bad.
As it used to be.
I know, I tell you, when you get that way, contact your coach.
No, absolutely, and you're right, because, and he's not just there to be a coach. Like, he's there, if I have a question about anything, or and even in life, he's there. Like, I can reach out and be like, hey man, just having a bad day. And it doesn't even have to be about running. If he's like, dude, what's going on? You know, he wants to know about everything that's going on because he wants to make sure, and he wants to, and he actually cares. And that's the big difference that I see in Run Free is every single one of these coaches, every single one of them care. It's not just a job. It's not just I'm getting paid to be a coach. It's that they care about their athletes. And that starts with Ryan and Jay. And you can tell that's what they build and what they have built. But anyways, I'm preaching about that. But I don't mean to, but like it's been amazing. And I really recommend anybody to reach out to them because it's worth it. You know, I mean, is everybody going to have the best every time? No. My races last year, what I PR'd.
Almost every race.
Every race but the half and the full. But that's okay.
You're working on it.
I'm getting there. But I PR'd my 5K, I PR'd my 8K, and I PR'd my 10K.
That's impressive for you.
I'll take that. I will take that every time that I get frustrated. Like, you know, I had a frustrating race this spring Kentucky Derby. And the minute I got a hold of, like, before I even contacted my coach, he already knew my times because he'd been watching it. You know, my coach is on the West Coast, so he was already watching and already knew my time. You know, so he knew that I didn't have the great race that we were predicting or that we were planning on. You know, but his first thing to me is when I sent him the message and everything, he was just, you know, don't stress about it. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it and we'll shoot for the fall race and we'll get things tweaked and we'll figure out what we need to figure out. However, I don't think I handled it badly. I think mentally I handled it was, all right, this sucked. The race sucked for me personally.
You actually did better than you did with Indy.
But yeah, mentally I did. Because India, it was a disaster mentally, and I was just like, I'm done. But this one, no, I think I handled it a lot better. I think it was just one of those, I understood the day was the day it was, weather, certain other factors. I was able to walk away with it with a little bit more of not being as frustrated. Meeting these guys is an amazing thing. I felt lucky. Honestly, I felt really lucky. But going up there, Cam Colton is way out in the Coconino National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And very beautiful. So beautiful.
Very gorgeous.
And so Ryan actually asked me, remember we said that I was talking to him and I was saying, oh, we had our vow renewal a couple days before, and Ryan was like, well, why didn't you do it out here? We would have done your vow renewal out here. And I looked at him like, well, if I would have known that, I probably would have, and how cool would it have been to have our vow renewal and have Ryan Hall and Jay Stevenson and Jared and all the other coaches and athletes and families there. That would have been a blast.
That would have been.
That would have been so much fun. Doing the strength, I remember one thing about the strength training, because I'm just like, you know, I mean, anybody that follows Ryan Hall just sees the ungodly stuff that he does. Like,
he does some insane.
He's so talented. Because just some of the stuff. Like, he trains with, and you see the videos of him running up these hills with all these water, the
Grand
Canyon. Yeah, and I'm just...
5 gallon drugs.
So, doing the strength training, you know, the one thing that I've always had good strength in is my legs just lifting, you know, and I used to, years ago, you know, do lifting, and, you know, my deadlifts and squats were always pretty good. Mm-hmm. Bench had always sucked, but anyways... So when they were doing, and you got to test out some of the strength training, when I was doing the deadlifts, and Ryan was like, man, you got really good form. And Jay's like looking at me like, man, you doing that a lot easier than me. And I was like, this is the one thing for all of everybody that I'm actually good and on the same level, or at least better than most, you know, most of the people in this group. So I took that little bit of win there. But no, it was a really fun time at Camp Colton, getting to meet everybody. After Tuesday, after we went out and did a run, which was we ran from the camp and went out a couple miles, turned around and came back. And then people had, I think there was, what, 3 options? Nice thing about the camp was you didn't have to do everything.
Yeah.
It was, the camp was, you didn't have to stay there. You didn't have to do every single thing. It was a come and go as you wanted. If you wanted to do some of the stuff that everybody was doing on Tuesday, you could. If you had other stuff that you wanted to do or other things that you're trying to do, you could go do it. It was come and go. I think most people were just like, we're going to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But after that morning run, there was 3 options. There was, you could go to, what's the corners? Do you remember?
Aspen Corner.
Aspen Corner. See, I'm glad you remember that. So you could go to Aspen Corners and they were doing a second run. Or you could go to the Lava Caves. Or you could do the hike up Mount Humphreys. Now, you did what?
The Lava Cave.
You did the Lava Cave.
That was actually pretty... I didn't get way down in there.
No, but we split.
Yeah.
Because I was going on the hike.
I went with Jay.
You, yeah.
Jay and Carmen and the family and some other people went. It was like a mile long tube formed from lava from 700,000 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it is 35 degrees in there.
Yeah, I remember you said that. It was really cold. They said
people used to use it as a freezer back in the day for their ice cream.
Okay.
It was 35 degrees. They called the ice box.
Yeah, I could see why. But you said you didn't get very far down in there because it was too dark.
Too dark. You need a headlamp.
You need a headlamp.
And it's very slippery, so you want to wear good enough sturdy shoes.
If you go to lava caves, bring a lamp, bring a flashlight.
Wear warm clothes.
Wear warmer clothes and sturdy shoes. Would you recommend doing it, though?
Yeah, I would. It's pretty fun. It looks pretty cool because it's all made of from the lava.
That's cool. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I, however, did not do that. I was one of the crazy ones that decided that I was going to go hike up Mount Humphreys. And so Mount Humphreys is the highest peak in the Flagstaff area. It is also the highest peak in the state of Arizona. Mount Humphreys actually sits at 12,633 feet high above sea level. Yeah. Now, this trip, it's about a 9-mile round trip from the base. And you go to the Arizona Ski Bowl, and then there's a trail that you follow, and it goes, takes you up to the summit, and it's like 4.5 miles there, 4.5 miles back. And I was in the group that was, because Ryan Hall was going there. This path is not for the easy. It is not an easy path. And a lot of it is almost vertical. It is really challenging. But even going up it, it was so beautiful. So, so beautiful. I did not make it to the top. Actually, only 3 people made it all the way to the top. As we were going up, there was thunderstorms coming in. And the way that Mount Humphrey sits is once you get to the very top, it's actually all open up to the elements. And so Ryan Hall was with the lead group, and they were like, you know what? He was going to stop. And I think 3 people actually decided that they were going to go all the way up to the summit and get to see. But even he was like, you know, it's kind of really dangerous to go up there in these weather conditions. So I didn't feel too bad that I didn't get it. I didn't get all the way to where they were. I was about a 1/4 mile, 1/2 mile behind them because I was exhausted. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been hiking like that in years. But it was gorgeous. I got some beautiful photos going up and saw deer and some deer, a lot of wildlife going up, coming down it. And it was fun. It was very beautiful. I'll post some pictures of the trail itself. I got so many pictures.
You think you would have done better if you had a hiking stick?
Maybe. If I would have had one of our hiking sticks that we have here at the house. I think so. But I also think that run in the morning also put me into the ground because still, again, it's Tuesday. My body's not used to doing all that elevation yet.
Right.
So I think if I would have done that, I'd have been okay. But no, it was really fun. A little disappointing that I didn't get to go away to the top. But, you know, I'm happy with, I still got, there were some areas that had a breakout or a break in the tree line so you could actually see out and see the big valley and some of the hills and mountains around it. And like I said, very gorgeous. Very, very gorgeous. So that was Tuesday. And then Tuesday night we had the barbecue?
Yeah, hamburgers.
They had a big barbecue. They had vegan, yeah.
They had vegan stuff.
They had vegan food too.
They made sure they had everything
covered. They made sure they had everything covered. Because they know that, you know, they have athletes that are vegan. And they have coaches that are vegan. And so they were covered on everything. It was really good. And they had that big campfire. Mm-hmm. And so everybody was just, you know,
doing s'mores.
Yeah, they had s'mores going on. You know, they had kids. We didn't take our son, but we actually could have because there was a lot of other kids there that were there too. Some other families were bringing that because there was another family from Ohio that their little girl was there.
She was about the same age.
And she was about the same age as our son. So it was kind of a bummer we didn't bring him, but it was also our second honeymoon.
Right.
So that was kind of our thought by it. But no, we got to hear stories, people asking different coaches questions, everybody telling different stories, you know, and Ryan giving his stories, Jay's giving his stories, you know, people getting to ask him questions, different like small Q&A. That was basically Tuesday. Wednesday.
Ooh.
Wednesday was a fun one. Wednesday was a meeting in Sedona. And Sedona is about halfway to Phoenix. Well, not super halfway. It's about a 45-minute drive, mm-hmm. and you're going back down the mountain.
It was a little bit warmer.
It was a little bit warmer. It wasn't as high elevation, but it wasn't as hot.
It was like 80?
Yeah, it was definitely warm. And so we actually met in the Red Rock Canyon. There were two workouts going on. You could go to the trail run there at Red Rock Canyon, or
a track.
There was a local track that they were meeting up and doing, like some people were doing speed workouts and stuff, track workouts. I went to the Red Rock Canyon one. I chose, you know, we chose it basically because it's Red Rock Canyon and I wanted to be able to run in it. And it was trail running. I didn't run as far. Again, I knew I was going to be running 5 days in a row, which was a new thing for my body. Red Rock Canyon was just,
gorgeous.
You can't even, I mean, gorgeous doesn't even, doesn't.
Pictures don't do it justice.
Pictures don't do it justice. You walked some.
I walked.
You went walking. I went.
You ran down.
I ran down. I did a little bit of running up, didn't run as much up. And then I ran coming back down. And that was fun. I did, however, the cactus.
Oh, yeah.
The cactus. I didn't realize when I had bumped into a cactus until I stopped and I looked down and I had cactus needles in my hand.
I think we ran into our roommate, too. She got lost.
Yeah, our roommate got lost coming down. That was the first.
That was the second time,
because she got lost.
On Mount Humphreys.
On Mount Humphreys, her and a couple of the other girls. So we realized day two that our roommate does not have a great sense of direction. After the run, everybody took in just the gorgeous views.
We went to Chipotle.
Yeah, we went to Chipotle. Everybody was meeting up, and the views from Chipotle is the best Chipotle in town. Best Chipotle I'd ever been to. And I'm not a huge Chipotle fan. I like it. It's not bad. It's a good for carbs and good protein. It can fill you up. But this Chipotle, just the views. Where it sits is amazing because the Chipotle itself sits and it has nothing but glass windows in the front and it just looks straight out into Red Rock Canyon. So you're sitting there eating lunch or dinner or whatever you're going to eat and you're just looking the canyon. And Sedona itself is just a super beautiful little, I don't even know how to describe it. Because everything flows together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just looks, it's beautiful. The town is beautiful.
Very beautiful.
It's very pretty. I mean, I guess you would say.
Everything goes together.
It does. It just looks like this is a Southwest town. When you think of towns in Southwest United States, like Sedona is what you're thinking of.
Is that the only blue light McDonald's there? Sedona?
Yes. Yeah, so the McDonald's with the only the arches of McDonald's in Sedona are not yellow, they're turquoise. And it's the only one. It's either teal or turquoise. Might be teal.
We need to go look for it.
So yeah, we didn't get to see it. But Sedona is a quaint little town. I would have loved to spend more time in Sedona and just kind of been able to do the touristy stuff and travel around and kind of walk around and see the town more. They did have, you know, if you can't really walk, they did have the Jeep tours.
I thought those were cool.
Yeah, so they're modified Jeeps with, you know, this big bed on the back that has all these seats, and it's all covered with a canopy and everything. And they just take you up into the canyon. And you can go on tours, and they take you different spots up in the canyon. So we did see a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, if you're like, well, I can't really do hiking trails, or I can't really walk a whole lot. Man, look, those, don't decide not to go there based on, you know, your mobility. If you still can't go, and look into one of those Jeep tours, because it's still a great way to see the canyon. And you don't want to be, you don't want to miss it. Something you don't want to miss. It's definitely something that you have to be able to see. After Sedona, we went to Slide Rock. Now, Slide Rock is going back towards Flagstaff, but it's in that mountain area. And it is a natural water slide. Is it a state park?
Yeah, it's a state park.
Okay, so it's a state park. You basically pay to get in. And I can't remember how much it was.
Like 20.
Yeah, it was $20.
It was just for parking.
Yeah, you're just paying for parking.
But oh my gosh, it was beautiful.
And the way that it is they only have so many parking spots. So everybody's lined up and you get in, they let, you know, when one car leaves, they let another car in. When if, you know, one car leaves, they let another car in. And that's how they do it. So you could be sitting there a while. We, it didn't take us a whole long
like
time.
20 minutes,
yeah,
half hour?
Yeah, it took us 20, 30 minutes to get in, but that was nothing. There was a ton of parking, so it's not, you know, it's not like they have very small parking. And it was so nice, but it's just this natural water slide. It's got all these pools, and it's water coming down from the mountains, so it's really cold. It was surprisingly and shockingly cold.
You're right.
And, but we had so much fun. It was so much fun. I went down it. It took a little bit to get you to go down it, but I did eventually get you to go down it. I know you were nervous at first.
Very nervous.
But you had fun though.
Yeah, I ended up having fun with it.
It was very fun. We wanted to go back, but we wanted to go back Friday because camp ended Friday. And we wanted to go back before we left on Saturday, but then it was just stormy on...
It stormed all day Friday.
Yeah, it did storm all day Friday in that area, so we couldn't. But if we ever go back, I want to go to Slide Rock again. That was so much fun.
Definitely.
And that water felt so good. But like I said, it was a shock how cold it was.
Right?
But it felt so wonderful. And you can see why everybody in the area is like, you know what? It's hot. We're going to Slide Rock today.
Yep.
So, and there's plenty of places there. They had food places there. They had places to change. They had bathrooms and they had a food area, but you can bring your own stuff in. You can bring your own picnic stuff, throw a picnic. People had their picnic stuff out there. And it wasn't just the rock that you slide down. There's lots of pools that you can kind of wade in or sit around in. So there was plenty to do and plenty of room for everybody. And it was a blast.
Very shallow too.
Yeah, most of it was shallow. There was a couple deep spots where people could jump in and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of people jumping.
Yeah, there was a couple spots where people could jump in. It was deep enough there. And but they kind of, you know, where you can jump in and where you can't. But no, that was a blast. That was one of the best parts that wasn't part of the camp that I really, really enjoyed. What I say, that was Wednesday.
I said, there was a lot of people from camp that went, too.
Yeah, we did see a lot of people from camp that were there after we went to Sedona and we were coming up. I know some people turned around because they didn't think they were going to get in for a long time.
Yeah, and they ended up going somewhere else.
So they went somewhere else. I think Jay said he ended up going somewhere else down the road.
Yeah.
But, and if I would have known that, shoot, we would have joined them. Was it Wednesday night we had the pasta dinner?
Yeah, it was the last night at the camp.
Yeah, the last night actually at the actual camp we had a big pasta dinner. And some more campfire, sitting around, telling stories with everybody, getting to meet everybody and have a good time. Because Thursday morning was meeting at Lake Mary Road.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned Lake Mary Road earlier, that's where the impromptu run on Monday was. But on Thursday was an actual scheduled where everybody was going to meet from Lake Mary Road. And the reason why Lake Mary Road is so well known is for any athletes out there that are on elite level or anything, Lake Mary Road in Flagstaff is a destination for a lot of elite runners from around the world because the road is laid out in such a way that the shoulders are really wide for runners and cyclists. So a lot of cyclists that, you know, compete around the world or train in different, you know, cycling events. And runners, they come there because, one, the elevation. And Lake Mary Road is massively up and down. I was doing a tempo run. That's what my coach had me doing. A lot of people were doing that. Lake Mary Road was a hard workout run that was supposed to be everybody's supposed to be.
It was a long distance run, I think.
Yep. It was supposed to be. It was scheduled for everybody's long distance run. My coach wanted me to do a tempo run and with some recovery miles afterwards coming back up. But I remember running down, and it was so funny because I started a little bit, you know, ahead of everybody, you know, the main group. And I was going down as I'm running down. I'm in my zone, and I'm just doing me. You know, my thing is, I'm just gonna do me. I'm not running at their speed. I'm okay with that. You know, I got my headphones in. I start hearing music. You know, and I always have my headphones low enough so I can always hear cars. I can always hear what's going on around me. And I'm starting to hear music. And I'm like, where is this music coming from? And I kind of turn and look over my shoulder. And here comes Ryan Hall riding a bike with a speaker playing music on the front. And he's got some of his athletes that are training, doing their hard tempo running. And he's leading them down. And I'm just like, that's just great. And as he passed me, you know, he's like, hey, Scott, what's going on? Looking good. And I'm just like, all right, man, thank you. As it goes. And then coming back, so I turned around, I'm doing my tempo mile. And at this point, going down, not too bad. It's still kind of open. And it is a very beautiful view. It's so beautiful going down. And I wanted to go further. I really wish I was at my training schedule to go further than
what, like your marathon training?
Yeah. Because I wasn't fully onto my marathon training yet. And so my, you know, Jared didn't want me to go as far. And he also was like, look, man, you've already ran 3 days. This will be your fourth day in a row. So let's just kind of take it easy. We're going to do a good hard workout, but we're not going to push it. And I really wish that I was further along so I could actually go further, because it was such a beautiful view.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn around and it's uphill. So the uphill, and that's a part of running. You know, you need to learn to train on hills. You yeah. have to. You know, you have to be able to get your legs used to going uphill. Not every single course that you're going to run is going to be flat.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be challenging courses out there. And this is where you're really going to push it. And this is where I was doing my recovery mile was, you know, I'm doing a couple of recovery miles. But as I'm going back up, there's other runners coming down. There's cyclists, you know, going up and down. And they're not all part of Run Free, obviously. These are people from all over the world and all over Flagstaff are coming there. And I remember seeing somebody coming down and this woman coming down and she's moving like just graceful as can be and is running down the hill and she is getting close and I'm struggling. You know, I'm going uphill.
Right.
I'm at altitude. I look probably the worst that I've ever looked in my life. I probably look like a zombie at this point in time. You know, I'm enjoying it, looking around. I'm enjoying some of it. But I'm probably looking just absolutely ghostly. And she smiles and kind of nods and she's like, looking good. You're doing great. You know, and mentally I'm thinking, yeah, okay, whatever. Thanks. You know, that's just what runners do. You know, you always give a high five. Even if you see somebody, you know, struggling, you always want to give them that positive encouragement. But, you know, she's just going down easy as can be. And it wasn't until like maybe 100 yards after she had passed me that it absolutely dawned on me that was Molly Seidel.
That's crazy.
That was Molly Seidel just past me training for the Olympics and for the Olympic marathon that was later in a couple more weeks. And it just blew my mind and it just kind of really brought home to how famous Lake Mary Road actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still really cool, you know, even if it was just not, I don't want to say fake because she, you know, I'm not saying that she's fake or anything, but what I'm saying is just to have that, you know, hey, you're doing that positive encouragement at that point.
And not even realizing
who it was.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, it was really neat to actually to get to see her and, you know, get some type of positive encouragement from an Olympic marathoner that, you know, you've never even met. And then, of course, obviously, Ryan passed me going back up the hill because I heard him coming with his music again.
Yeah.
But he was the same way. You know, he's like, doing good, man. Keep at it. And, that's what I'm saying is just none of it was fake or forced.
No.
It was real. Everybody cares. After that, where did we go after that?
Grand Canyon.
Yeah, we did. We went to the Grand Canyon. Everybody was going out to the Grand Canyon. That was the plan Thursday, is after Lake Mary Road. Everybody's going out to Grand Canyon. We went out to Grand Canyon. Our roommate actually didn't go with us. She had already told us because, you know, she knew that it was our second honeymoon and she didn't want to bug us the whole time. You know, bless her heart. And, which we were more than cool with, you know, we've been married 5 years at that point, you know, we're like, look, we get it. We're just here to have fun. But she had found one of the other girls to go with and they were going to the Grand Canyon and we were all going to meet everybody and everybody's going up there. And it was actually my second time going to the Grand Canyon, your first time. It was a little bit of a drive. It was a two-hour drive?
2 hour drive.
2 hour drive from Flagstaff. And here's the funny part. This is the part that blew your mind and was kind of crazy when you think about it. So Flagstaff, Arizona sits in Coconino County. Mm-hmm. Grand Canyon sits in Coconino County.
Which is insane.
2 hours from Flagstaff. It's the same county.
I think it's the largest county in Arizona.
It probably is. Getting up there, we went through a storm. It was supposed to be like in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like in the 90s when we got there. But then it was only in the 70s because that big storm came through.
We went through a monsoon.
Yeah, we did go through a monsoon getting there. And it actually really kept the temperature at bay.
Yeah.
Which was really nice because I think it really helped enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't even say. Like, I mean, you can't even say.
No.
Words can't describe the Grand Canyon.
It's breathtaking.
It is breathtaking. You're just standing there in just awe of God and nature and just how gorgeous it really is. It is almost to the point where it is very humbling. And, you know, you say, okay, well, it's a big hole in the ground. It is a big hole in the ground, but it's awe-inspiring. You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, coming out west and the first people that saw it, the first pioneers that saw it.
Right.
You know, I could see why it's as sacred as, you know, a lot of tribes had it, especially the Hopi and the Navajo, and why it is powerful in their culture. Because it is just, it's just beautiful. And we met, what was the thing that you got to see for your very first time in your life?
Elk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you didn't even first see it. We were driving, it was when we were, kind of leaving out.
We were driving towards the visitor center.
And I stopped the car because literally 5 feet out your window was an elk.
There was like three of them.
Yep, there was, yeah, you're right, there was three. And you didn't even see them at first. I had to like tap you on the shoulder and be like, look. And then you looked out and you were just like shocked. And your facial expression said everything that, and it was cool because, you know, I grew up in a state that had deer and elk, and I've seen plenty of elk in my lifetime, and I still think they're just very gorgeous and beautiful.
They are very pretty.
But for you, you finally got to see, you know, I've talked about my growing up, you've talked about your growing up, and so, you know, us discussing back and forth things that we've seen and done throughout our childhood and our lives and comparing, and then me trying to explain to you how big an elk really is.
I was like,
you finally got to see.
I think my face dropped.
It really did. I really wish I would have got a picture of what your face looked like because, you know, when you saw it, you just kind of looked at it and you were just like stunned to see how big those creatures are. And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one by your window, I think, was a cow elk.
The female?
Yeah, the cow is a female. And then I think there was a bull not very far from her. But yeah, it was, your face was great. I really wish, I mean, we got pictures of the elk, but I really wish I would have gotten a picture of you. But along with that, you are not big on heights.
No.
You are really scared of them, but I was so proud to see you. And I don't want to see you got to the edge because then that sounds like, you know, I was trying to get you out there to try to murder you or something. But, and I wasn't. You overcame a lot of your fear and got closer than I thought you would.
Wasn't easy.
No, but you inched yourself and you did amazing and got to see some amazing once in a lifetime views that a lot of people don't get to see. If you have the chance to go to Grand Canyon,
Go.
Yeah, you're right. Go. You won't regret it.
Took me 35 years to go, but it was worth it.
Well, and that's something that you and I have talked about being together, is I love to travel. And I want to be able to travel not just by myself. I want my family to go with me. So when I experience a new place, I want my family to be able to experience it. I want my wife to be able to experience these things. I want to experience things together that neither one of us have done. You know, Grand Canyon, yes, I've been there. But being there a second time, it was still awesome to me. You know, I think if I went there, and I think one of the things that made it so awesome was having you there. Having my wife standing there with me and experiencing that and getting to see how you really enjoyed it and how you know, you were taking it in and your experience made the second time for me going that much better. And I think that it would also, that would happen, you know, one day when we can take our son and any other future children that we have. We did go over to one of the trails. We went over to South Kaybob Trail is the main trail that we went over to. And we actually met some of the fellow Run Free athletes were there and their families were there.
Quite a few.
Yeah, a lot. Some went down. I went down a little bit on the trail, not super far, but I wanted to get some good pictures. I know you stayed at the top. I know you were like, nope.
There's no way I'm making it down.
No, it is a very steep trail. It is a hard, compacted dirt trail. The trail is mostly famous for, because if you ever take the donkey ride or the mule ride down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, that's the trail that they use. I did go down some of it to get some good pictures and came back up. It's very steep. You can't deal with heights very well. Mm-hmm. I don't suggest because it looks, it's very intimidating. It can be very, very scary and nervous because it's not a very wide trail. As a matter of fact, they have signs that if you see mules coming up or going down and they're getting close to you, stand against the canyon wall and tell the mules pass, because they have priority and they have the right of way. So our story with our roommate, she went down to the bottom of the canyon with another one of the girls. And when you get to the bottom of the canyon, get down towards the Colorado River, there are three trails that converge, and there's a campground down there and whatnot. If you take the one trail, it takes you to the south or to the north rim, and which is opposite and on the other side of the Grand Canyon than everybody's at. And then you have Bright Angel Trail that goes down there and the South Kaybob Trail. She did go down and got down there. We didn't realize until we got back home. We drove back. Like I said, she didn't travel with us. So we got back. We were back at the house. And we were just sitting there relaxing, and I was sitting outside smoking my cigar. You came, and you're like, I just got a phone call from the National Parks, a park ranger. So apparently, our roommate, they got lost, and they took the wrong trail.
Did they go up the North Rim?
They were headed up the North Rim Trail before they realized. And it's a long trip. It's a long trip, and I think it's, a three-hour trip down? Mm-hmm. And they say almost double that to get back up. And so they could not get back up with the amount of daylight they had.
No. I think I recommend staying the night if you're going to do something.
If you're going to do that there, yeah, absolutely. If you're going to go down, you know, take some camping gear, take some hiking, take some bedrolls, something. Luckily, they were able to find a ranger. Ranger was able to know to call you and so we didn't panic. She just wanted to let us know that, you know, that she's safe. She was okay. She'll be coming back the next day. They were able to find, there was other campers down there that gave them some food,
a
sleeping bag so they could stay warm, because the Grand Canyon from the top to the bottom is, that's 5,000 feet of elevation loss you're going down, and that's 5,000 feet of elevation coming back up. But she was okay. She's got a great story,
right,
to tell. But she was a trooper. She was more worried that we were going to worry, and we were just glad that she was safe. And that they, you know, and granted, you know, it shows you, people have compassion. You know, other people down there. I think coming back up, they were having a little trouble. And there was a group hiking. They were actually going to be faster than our roommate. And that group said, you know, they're experienced hikers. And they said, you know, no, we're staying here. And we're going to walk with you to make sure you get to the top. You know, so if you go, you know, just be smart. You use your head. Use plenty of fluids. Grand Canyon is no joke. You know, it is not a joke. And it's more people die hiking or running the canyon because they're not prepared and they're overconfident in themselves. And the crazy part is most of the people that die are experienced hikers and experienced runners, people who you would think that knows better. It doesn't play it's Mother Nature, you know? It's Mother Nature. You know, she don't joke around, and she doesn't play around. So just be prepared. You know, that's all you can say is just be prepared and make sure you plan ahead and have everything.
Be prepared for weather.
And be prepared for weather.
Especially when it lightnings here at your own risk.
Yeah, because, you know, weather can come in very quickly in that area. So, but no, Grand Canyon was great. We enjoyed our Thursday. Friday was bittersweet. You know, Friday morning we all met at Buffalo Park, which is a park in Flagstaff. And it was our last kind of group run for everybody. We weren't going home until Saturday. A lot of people, they were leaving Friday afternoon, Friday evening. So we met for one last group run. It was, to me, one of the best runs that I had, not because of speed or time, but I got to run a good section of it. Yep, I got to run it with my coach running next to me and have a good conversation with him. You know, and that was one thing about it is, you know, Jared ran with every single one of his athletes that were there. He spent every day, he was training with a different athlete so he could work with them, so he could talk to them and get a really good one-on-one with each of his athletes. And I know going into that, that was his goal. And he massively accomplished that goal. You know, so I got to run at Buffalo Park with him and have a good run, good conversations with him. And also, I got to run with you.
I ran and walked.
You did a run walk, but you did a run walk more than you had ever done before that. And it was so fun to be able to experience that with you. You did this run walk. The running sections was, all right, see that pole or that tree out there. I want you to kind of run to that tree. And then we'd walk some. We were getting passed by other runners from the camp, and every single person that passed by was giving you so much encouragement, so much positive, and everybody, even
Carmen was out there running.
Jay was out there. I don't think Ryan was.
Jared was out there, I think.
I think Ryan had to leave. I think he left Thursday.
He left Thursday from Lake Mary.
From Lake Mary because he was going with Sarah. He was meeting Sarah because Sarah was training in Crested Butte. And so he went up there with the family, and they were going up to Crested Butte so he could help work on her training, which, you know, that's fully understandable. But yeah, everybody was amazing. Everybody was so much fun. And then, you know, we did the whole everybody saying goodbye to each other and, you know, wishing each other luck. And then everybody kind of somehow, a good group of people,
decided to meet for breakfast.
Met for breakfast afterwards.
And at the Biff's Bagels?
Biff's Bagels.
Well, they were good.
Well known. It's a very well known, you know, spot in Flagstaff is Biff's Bagels. Biff's Bagels. Yeah, they have. We did bagels. Their bagels are huge.
Mm-hmm. They were good.
They were so tasty.
They make sandwiches out of them too.
Yeah, you could get it as. We didn't even do it as a sandwich, but you can get it as a sandwich. And they had just so many options. We got coffee and bagels for afterwards, and it was so good. And I guess that's where a lot of runners and like cyclists, a lot of athletes go there. And I can see why. I mean, you know, you get bagels after you run a race, but man, I wish they had Biff's Bagels.
Right?
If every race had Biff's Bagels at the end of the race, I'd be running every race because those things, like, after a race, that's the one thing I don't grab is bagels because I'm not really super big on bagels after a race. But, dear Lord.
Those were good.
If they had Biff's Bagels, I'd be grabbing them up. I'd be trying to walk away with the bike because they were really good. So if you're in Flagstaff, go to Biff's Bagels. We did go out to eat. Do you remember what we ate?
Some kind of burrito palace that was a homemade Mexican.
Yeah, oh my goodness, it was so good.
It was so good.
It was real, real.
Authentic.
Authentic Mexican food. That was a great way to end our trip to Flagstaff.
Definitely was.
You, me, and our roommate, we all went out to dinner. You found the place.
Yeah, on TripAdvisor.
Yep, you found the place, and it was out of this world. They had the trees. Oh, man, their trees are so good. I had a margarita.
Anyway, you did.
It was so good. It was so good.
I think we had the cheese dip or something.
The spinach dip?
Yeah, that was good.
No, we got the chorizo, Christina.
Did we?
Yeah, we had the chorizo. That's what that was chorizo.
Mm, it tasted good.
It was amazing. And it was all real. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, don't get me wrong, I love the Mexican places that we go around here. I love them. They're really good. This has every single one of them beaten. Because this is...
It actually has flavor.
Yeah, well, it's one, it has flavor, and it's what you're going to get if you go to Mexico.
Oh, you're in Arizona, too.
Yeah, this is, if you're going to Mexico, this is what you're eating. This isn't the Americanized version of what Mexican food to make Americans happy. This is real. And that was the big difference. And you could taste that difference. All right, anyways, no, we had fun with that. The whole trip, man, what did you think of camp?
I enjoyed it. Everyone was friendly, welcoming. It felt like a big family.
It really did. So, I know you were nervous going in, but how did you feel when we were leaving?
I felt sad and I missed everyone.
Yeah. Did you feel as nervous?
No.
Did you feel like you were out of place?
No.
No. Neither did I. I absolutely did not. I really wish we could have gone this year. This year they held it. It was in Crested Butte this year. I really wish we could have gone, but just other things coming and going. New job for me. Unfortunately, couldn't go.
Races.
And then scheduling for our races and doing stuff like that. Just wasn't in the cards, unfortunately, this year. We'll see about next year or in the next year or two. I think maybe I want to wait for our son to be a little bit older.
So he can go.
So he could go and he can enjoy it, you know. Because they do have kids that go. They do have, you know, Jay and Ryan both have junior runners. And I think they got a couple that are in the Junior Olympians program. So I could eventually see. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm going to make my son do it because I'm not going to make my son do it.
It's up to him.
Yeah, it's up to him. If it's something that he wants to do, it's his choice. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to, he wants to. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But if he does, best people to have.
You're the acting little boy, though.
He is acting. He loves when I run. But he's a kid, too. He's 4, so, I mean, he loves running at this point. So we'll see as he gets older. Anything else you have for this? Any takeaways? Anything you want to add?
I miss Arizona.
It was beautiful. Just doing this episode kind of makes you want to go back. So we have one final statement that we wanted to put out there. And it is, we have finally decided and chosen what our fall race is going to be and our fall destination is. And it came down, it was two choices that we were coming down to. And it was really hard because both of them, actually everything that we were looking at, all the fall races looked like fun. And it was really hard to narrow down. Finally had narrowed it down to two between the Nashville Marathon and Outer Banks. And we finally decided on one. And what did we choose?
Outer Banks, North Carolina.
Yep. So this coming November, we'll be heading out to Outer Banks, North Carolina. It's a long trip for us.
11-hour drive.
It's an 11-hour drive, but it's okay. And our son is going with, so we cannot wait to take him out there and have fun and get him to experience things. So that is our fall destination so far. We might be doing other races in between. There's some small ones. We're not really sure yet, but that's our big marathon goal coming November. Can't wait for that. Excited. We'll talk more about Outer Banks next week when we talk to my coach. So anything else for this week?
No.
Nothing else for this week. Then we will say everybody have a good week. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. Bye. Thanks for listening to Ohio Family on the Run podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll share us with your friends and colleagues. And please, don't forget to leave us a positive review. You can check us out on Instagram, Ohio Family on the Run, and Twitter at family_on_the_run.
Or send us an email at ohfamilyontherun@gmail.com. Also, if you have any suggestions or ideas for future episodes, let us know.
Until next week, this is Scott.
And Christina.